Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Mark and also reflect on the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us and we will be right back. Vacation Bible School is a great experience for young children and a perfect environment for them to learn more about the tenets of their faith. Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish will host a one-week vacation Bible school beginning July 9th in the Parish Hall for students in 1st through 5th grades. Classes are held from 8:30 a.m. till noon, Monday through Friday. This year's theme is a wilderness adventure through the sacraments. The modest tuition, which includes snacks and a Bible school t-shirt, is reduced for additional students from the same household. For information on registration, please call 361-991-7891. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, and happy beginning of July, and happy 4th of July for those for all of us.
Right.
And I hope it's a beautiful month for all of us. Probably be very hot.
It will be hot. It might be a vacation week for people since the 4th of July is right in the middle of the week.
Right. Pray for the farmers, too, and that all goes well with the crops and the necessary rain and everything. So just let them know that I'm thinking of them this morning. And also just a quick hello to my brothers in the Beeville McConnell unit. How are you all this morning? And anyone else that's listening at home or in the car heading to church, Mass. So hello to everyone this morning.
And again, we may have some visitors who are here on vacation.
Right, on vacation,
so
right.
Welcome, welcome. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the area. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with her, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only got worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that they were utterly astonished. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, these are two beautiful stories, I think, about Jesus' healing powers.
Right. I mean, the healing of Jesus is in his person. Mm-hmm. There is a beautiful mural in a new church in Israel, in Magdala, that some ruins have been rediscovered in Magdala, where Mary Magdalene is from. And it's an ecumenical place as well. But what is beautiful, I thought, downstairs in kind of a crypt, there is this huge mural of a bunch of feet, huge feet walking, but there is a hand with a finger kind of like this. Of course, the listeners can't see it, but just reaching out and touching the cloak of Jesus. And of course, I've shown it a couple of times on retreats that I've given, and people are not sure what to make of it or what it actually is. And then the more you look at it, you realize that it's that woman with hemorrhaging, just wanting to touch the cloak of Jesus. It's a very moving, it's a very still and silent moment just to stand and look at this picture and to realize that this woman's faith brought her to the fact of, you'd almost say, being trampled, by
going
all
through
these
the crowds.
Big feet, and just her finger just wanting to touch. It was, I wouldn't say it was just the last resort, because sometimes we say faith is the last resort, but I think it's all along she was looking for that healing, and faith brought it. Since he was passing through on the way to Jairus' home, if I could just touch, the cloak, that I will be healed. That what faith that was. And that's what Jesus recognized in her, and even felt the power come out of himself, that there was a healing moment for this woman. And again, it was not some emotional or superstitious kind of feeling that he had. But obviously, Jesus feels people. And his whole mission was to people, to bring them to God. And because of who he is, he felt that that person, whoever she was, he went looking for her, who touched me.
Mm-hmm. Because he knew something had happened, and he turned around and looked for
her. And he wanted to affirm her faith, not just affirm the cure, but to affirm the fact that your faith has brought you this healing. And anyway, if anyone ever makes that trip to Israel in a pilgrimage, be sure to go by Magdala and see that beautiful mural and the other beautiful parts of that sanctuary that's there. So this is kind of a story within the story of the second healing. And so then they arrive at Jairus' house, the synagogue official, and people come out and say that she's dead. In other words, they give up hope. They give up faith. Mm-hmm. And the fact that anything else could happen, don't bother the teacher anymore. But as we know, Jesus is greater than death in his own resurrection. So he said, just disregard that report and just have faith. I think this is a beautiful part of this, the gospel, is he's saying to this man who was an official of the synagogue, disregard the report about your daughter being dead. In other words, do not despair, do not lose hope. Faith is greater. And so he asked him to have faith, which he obviously did, and then they arrived at the home and all the commotion, the weeping, and Jesus asked them to leave, that there was no need for that. And then he touched the girl and Talitha kum, just says, little girl, arise. Those strong words, and of course the girl arises. You pointed out earlier in the break that at the end it says he gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that the girl should be given something to eat. The first part of that no one should know this. I think the main thing here is Jesus never wanted to sensationalize what he did for us. And this is even the death on the cross, the horrible death on the cross, was not to be sensationalized. It's what he did for us, what he wanted to do for us. Anytime he cured someone, he said, tell no one.
Exactly.
Because it's not a show.
Right.
And too often with our, I'll just say, Hollywood mentality, we want to make small favors, beautiful things that happen to us into a big show. That's not what God does. He simply, Jesus was born in a manger. Jesus, lived in Nazareth in a simple home. The Son of God came into this world in simplicity. And here he's done a great healing in response to the Jairus's faith. But he didn't want anyone to know about it. Don't sensationalize the work of God. Just deepen your own faith. And then finally, giving the girl something to eat could be, I think, in two ways. When we've all been through an illness like that, we could be physically hungry, and so give her something to eat. But I think there's something that the church really shows in our understanding of this, that spiritually there's something deeper, that as their faith grew, he was calling them to Eucharist, that he would leave us with his presence in the body and his blood in the church. And as faith grows, our desire, our longing, our yearning for Eucharist grows. Right. We want to be fed by Jesus daily. And so to celebrate the Eucharist, this young girl and her family now being called to the table of the Lord, which is the table of remembrance that God in Jesus died for me. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is there to continue to bolster our faith and to bring us to life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. So not just physical life, but also eternal life. Jesus wouldn't just leave her there with physical breath, but wanted to the next step to give her eternal life through the food that he himself would become in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. They were both beautiful stories of faith, you know, the official's faith and the woman's faith, you know, after her 12 years of,
right,
you know, seeing doctors and nothing happened.
So nothing left.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Previous events have been so enjoyable, they're doing it again. It's fun and games, pure and simple. Well, maybe a light snack or two. The St. Patrick Altar and Rosary Society will hold its annual card party on Thursday, July 5th in the Parish Hall, 3350 South Alameda, from 1 till 5 p.m. Women and men are invited to bring their own cards or favorite board games to play, such as dominoes, bridge, Monopoly, Clue, Uno, Bunko, Scrabble, Canasta, spades, hearts, double solitaire, and on and on. So get out of the heat, get off your feet, relax, and enjoy yourself with friends and family. For more information, call the parish office, 855-7391.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in July, so we have another wonderful word of life from the Focolare.
Well, again, I think last week or a few weeks ago, I spoke about the Pope's video just calling us to spend 2 minutes with the Scripture every day, and in that we touch the Word of God, we touch God. So these words of life, you know, taken are always from the Scripture. So it's a way to really feed on the body, the Word of God, as we feed on the Eucharist. So feed on His Word simply by trying to remember one sentence a month. So I would, hopefully that some of us out there are trying to, review the commentary, but just to keep in mind this sentence throughout the month. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. We all need that.
Wow.
My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So here's the commentary. In his second letter to the community in Corinth, St. Paul writes to people who were questioning the legitimacy of his apostolic activity. However, he does not defend himself by listing his own merits and achievements. On the contrary, he highlights the work that God has accomplished in him and through him. St. Paul mentioned a mystical experience of a deep relationship with God, but immediately shared his suffering due to a thorn that tormented him. He did not explain exactly what it was, but we realize it caused great difficulty and could have limited his activity as an evangelizer. For this reason, he shared the fact that he had asked God to free him from that impediment. But the answer he received from God himself was mind-blowing. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. All of us continually experience our own physical, psychological, and spiritual weaknesses, as well as those of others. We often see around us people who are suffering and can't find the way ahead. We feel weak and unable to solve all these problems or even face them. At most, we limit ourselves to not hurting anyone. St. Paul's experience, on the other hand, opens up a new horizon. By recognizing and accepting our weaknesses, we can abandon ourselves fully into the hands of the Father, who loves us as we are and wants to help us on our journey. In fact, the letter goes on saying, "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." In this regard, Kara Lubick wrote, quote, "We naturally react against such a statement, seeing it in a glaring contradiction or simply a paradox. Instead, it expresses one of the highest truths of the Christian faith. Jesus explained it to us with his life and above all with his death. When did he accomplish the task that the Father had entrusted to him? When did he redeem humanity? When did he conquer sin? It was when he died on the cross, after having cried out, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Jesus was strongest just at his weakest moment. He could have given life to the new people of God just by preaching, doing a few miracles or some extraordinary deed. Instead, it was not so, because the church is the work of God, and it is in suffering, and only suffering, that the works of God flourish. So our weakness and the experience of our fragility present unique opportunities to experience the strength of Christ, who died and is risen." End quote. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. In the paradox of the gospel, the meek are promised they will inherit the earth. In the Magnificat, Mary exalts the power of the Lord, who expresses himself totally and definitively in our personal history and in human history, precisely in the setting of littleness and total trust in God's actions. Commenting on St. Paul's experience, Kara Lubick suggests that quote, "The choice we Christians can make is the exact opposite of what people usually do. Here, we are truly going against the flow. In the world, people's ideals lie in success, power, and prestige. On the contrary, St. Paul tells us that we must boast of our weakness. Let's trust in God. He will make good use of our weaknesses and nothingness. And when He is at work, we can be sure that He does things that are valuable, that bring about lasting good and meet the real needs of individuals and the community." End quote.
You know, listening to this, and especially toward the end, it made me reflect back to our conversation in the beginning, the first part of today's program, of God not wanting anybody to tell anybody else about His healing miracles.
Right.
And that's exactly it. Boast of our weaknesses, not of what we've accomplished.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's it's so contrary to our way of thinking.
Yes.
I mean, our human way of thinking. And this is why we have to be a very listening people and discerning people. I'm trying to think now. You just caught me. There was a quote that I had from Aristotle when I was preparing for the graduations this year that said, a true education is being able to hear every thought and not to live out every thought. In other words, that a person knows how to discern. So again, this being close to the Scripture, being close to the gospel, creates a mentality in us. And that's why it's so important that we are people of the gospel. The movie on Pope Francis, A Man of His Word, is you can just see it in him that he's a discerning. He sees what's going on. He's not blind to the world around him. He's a head of state, you know, and mm-hmm. The Pope is a head of state as well, and is able to dialogue with. They had pictures of all sorts of presidents. President Obama was there. You could see him coming in and out. President Trump and his wife. So all these heads of state. So he's not blind. But it's with the mentality of God people, there's the world, and of course we are in the world, and we must be a part of the world. We must contribute to the world. We must contribute to society, but not to be a part of it. So this sentence, this experience of St. Paul with the thorn in his side and then hearing those words, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." That's something that is hard to grasp unless you experience it. And that is my hope for us this month, is that in whatever weakness we experience, whatever trauma, drama, whatever, you know, difficulty we have to undergo, that we will take the time to accept that experience, to know that experience, to not try to ignore it, but that in that moment, is we can touch Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, that I'm with you always. For my power is made perfect in weakness. The power of God shines in our weakness. If we have that faith of so many people in the Scriptures, mm-hmm. to put their faith in Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his cloak, I'll be healed. That kind of faith, in my own situation this month, but for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many situations, you know. All sorts of things happen to each one of us in life. We have bad days and we have good days, but we also have very dramatic days that we don't expect, we don't anticipate, and we don't look forward to, but they do happen. Jesus never promised to protect us from difficulties, from the cross, the suffering in life, but he promised to be with us. And I think that's what this sentence that St. Paul experienced hearing himself, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Experience it, try it. So I just encourage everyone to try it.
Well, and I think it's a message for us, because things will go awry when you least expect it, but you'll look back on it and see the lessons. the lessons or the strength or the good of people that are around you.
And I think certainly, you know, a lesson is learned, but also a closeness is experienced.
Right.
That, to me, and I'm in my own experience too, that there's almost a smile on your face. There is a smile on your face because you know that there is a power in you that's greater than yourself. And that's what Jesus in the Holy Spirit wants to have us experience. There is a power in you that's greater than yourself. But it's only in weakness that we can experience that. Because when we try to build up our own defenses, our own powers, it's kind of like the gospel we read recently about Beelzebub, you know, being divided against himself. When we try to build up our own strength to fortify ourselves, to protect us from any kind of difficulties, the house will fall apart. Right. It's when we experience the weakness in faith in his word, that his grace is sufficient in this moment, whether we need to say something in wisdom or whatever it is, it's there. And that lasts, and it also brings us a true presence of God in our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a wonderful line from Scripture, and it'll be made available so that our listeners can reflect on it.
Great.
Thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who consecrated the abundant first fruits of the church with the Word of God, we ask you to give us the courage to draw close to the Word of God and to live out its truth each day. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.